this. I think they should now be able to go to, here, I'll put the URL in. Try it anyway. Anyone want to verify for me that that link does something? I guess I can as well. Oh no, that wasn't it. Wait, that's not it. Shoot. Testing. Testing. Yes, okay, I found it. This link. If they click on that link, they should be able to hear me. And they should be able to hear everyone, actually. We won't be able to hear them, but they should be able to hear all of us. So if anyone can send to people who are just on the edge of the sim. I can't get in. My computer's probably gonna explode. I'm doing like three things at once, recording three different ways. Power of Linux. Okay, so that's recording. Alright, so here's assuming we're ready to roll. Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Second Life Buddha Center, the Deer Park. I'm Yutadhammo Bhikkhu, a Buddhist monk. I used to teach quite a bit here at Second Life, but due to travels, and other commitments, I've given it up. And I'm back now. So we'll see if this can remain a thing. Thank you all for coming. It's great to see such an audience. Try and make this a weekly thing if possible, so now that you know the time, should potentially, subject to impermanence, this should be a weekly thing. So I'm gonna go pretty basic for our first session. I'll try to mix it up for future sessions, but for now I didn't have too much prepared because I knew this was going to be a test and everything was gonna go wrong, so I was more confused with actually remembering how Second Life works. But I'm here. And as you can see, if you look off to the left, we've got four people who are actually in another sim and can't can't hear us, can't hear me through Second Life, but there's a link, and they should be able to hear us through that, hear me through that, hear all of us, actually. They should also hear the birds and everything, if it's working as expected. Technology is just amazing, isn't it? So here we are, sitting together in Second Life. I always like to talk about the reality of Second Life, about the whole this whole brain in the vat theory or concept, that me sitting in this room in front of the computer is really not categorically different from the idea that we are sitting here in this deer park. The real difference is pixel quality. And of course the fact that you can't reach out and touch each other yet. But it's all conceptual in the end, really. In the end, what we, or in an ultimate sense, what we have is the senses. There's seeing, there's see. You'll notice how the mind shifts. Sitting here in your room, you can suddenly realize you're sitting in this room, and then you look back and you identify with your avatar and you say, oh, I'm sitting in the deer park. So certain meditations actually work this way, where you visualize yourself. I bet Second Life would be really good for creative visualization. Hindu meditators probably love this kind of thing. You focus on imagining yourself in the field. Deepak Chopra, that kind of thing. Shakti Goen, these kind of guys, big into that kind of stuff. For us, it's still interesting, but it's interesting in a different way. You say it's all just seeing. Whether you see these people sitting in this forest with you, or whether you see the walls and the computer screen and the room that you're in, it's all just seeing. And the sound of those birds, well, it's been recorded and canned turned into ones and zeros, really. Transmitted by light and electricity and reconverted back. But in the end, it's all just sound, whether it really comes from the bird's mouth or whether it comes from the speakers on your desk or in your ear. So I'm fully fine with us sitting here in Second Life. It was when I first came here years ago. I remember walking into the Buddha Center for the first time. I had watched this video by Mikio Kaku on the future. Probably still on YouTube, you could find it. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that would be at all useful for what I'm doing. I was always pretty open to new ideas. So I went in, looked up the Buddhism, found the Buddha Center, walked into the main hall and clicked on a meditation mat and started laughing because I was watching myself sit in meditation. I thought, well, this is kind of silly. And it's not real meditation, watching yourself meditate. I mean, how much faker does it get than that? But then I started exploring the actual platform, and it's really pretty awesome. I mean, the fact that we're all able to come together here like this and sit together, you know, people from all parts of the world, all walks of life, we can just turn on our computer and suddenly we're in the room together. Or the forest, as it may be. I'm cool with that. Because there are the side benefits of sitting in a forest that is familiar to our psyche and to the primal aspect of our being that comes from being reborn on Earth time and time again. It's comfortable. It's something familiar. That's conventionally useful. I mean, in an ultimate sense, you could say, well, sitting in a jail cell is really just the same as living in a forest, and I'd agree with that completely. And nonetheless, the benefits of conventional reality are there, definitely for those of us who are still beginners. But just in general, I mean, even the Buddha was keen to encourage others and himself to live in the forest. There's much to be said for it. Well, I suppose some of that has to do with being in a real forest as opposed to being in front of your computer screen, so take what you will. Anyway, today what I'd like to talk about, I think, and I probably won't talk too long because I'd really like to get a sense of the sort of things you'd like to talk about, and so I'd like to have a fairly lengthy discussion afterwards. I mean, relatively, it would just take some time at least to talk, you know? To find out who you all are, and maybe you got questions. But what I'd like to talk about for a little while is goodness. I figure that goodness is one way of describing Buddhism. You see, there's all those other religions out there that have something about them. Whether it's God or heaven or, I don't know, maybe it's ritual or sacrifice, you know? Maybe it's tradition or maybe it's singing or reciting or even dancing, chanting, you know, all these things. But usually there's something that makes them specifically them, like makes it specific to that religion in a way that is not universal or natural. Except they would probably argue about God, right? God could be considered universal. We wouldn't, but... Maybe they have something, like Christianity has Jesus Christ, and that's specific to that religion. I mean, there's nothing universal to the rest of us about Jesus Christ. Jewish people have their rules that they keep, and their culture, and their traditions, and their ritual, and their history. The Muslims have Muhammad and Allah. The Hindus have their gods, and they have practices, they have Krishna and Krishna's Leela and all that. Obviously I'm biased, but even knowing that, recognizing that it might be a bias, I'd still argue that Buddhism is fairly universal. I mean, I think it attempts to be in a way that other religions don't. So I still call Buddhism a religion because I think the word religion means to take something seriously, or something that you take seriously. The opposite of negligence. Negligence, religions. Or diligence, I guess, but religions. Could be where the word religion comes from, when you do something religiously. So we take this seriously, there's no question. I think it's a religion, it's not just a philosophy that you can say, oh, that sounds nice, and then go back to your life as though there was no problem with believing something and doing something else. No, we take it seriously. But what is it that we take seriously? This is the question. And I think goodness, it's not the only way, and it's probably not even the best way, necessarily. But it's a good way as a general description of Buddhism, as a description for people who maybe aren't, don't necessarily, you know, think of themselves as Buddhist or want to become Buddhist monastics or so on. People who have to live their lives, you know, who would have a hard time focusing too much on teachings like the Four Noble Truths or the Eightfold Noble Path or that kind of thing. Not to unappreciate them, but see, when you give a talk, part of what you want to do is encourage people. And sometimes heavy-duty Buddhism can be too much. Sometimes you have to be light. So I'd like to go light today. Not that I'm insulting any of you, your level of practice, of course. I mean, what I mean to say is light is good to uplift us here on a Saturday where many of you probably have to work during the week. And so to be uplifted is a good way to be, instead of talking about suffering, you know. Not that those are not awesome topics. But sometimes they're too heavy. And so the Buddha often talked about goodness. He didn't always just talk. And I think often people do focus too much on the negative stuff. Right? We don't want to focus solely on the good stuff. We do want to recognize the idea of suffering and the cause of suffering. But we want to uplift and encourage, and to encourage people to do the things that lead to happiness. And what is it that leads to happiness? Well, goodness. Goodness is what leads to happiness. Buddha said, Ma bhikkhave bayita punyanang. O bhikkhus, bhikkhu means like monk. It can also mean those of you who have seen the danger of being reborn, the danger of samsara, the danger of clinging. Ma bayita, don't be afraid, punyanang, of punya, of goodness. Don't be afraid of those things that purify you. Don't be afraid of good things. Sukhasetang bhikkhave adivacchanang yadidang punyani. Happiness is another word for punya. It's another word for goodness. Happiness has goodness as a synonym. So it's not only that goodness leads to happiness. Goodness is, and the Buddha is, he uses quite strong language. I mean, I think what he means, still you'd have to say that he means that it leads to happiness. But he says it even stronger. He says it's another word for happiness. Because happiness doesn't lead to happiness. It's something that I often find myself reminding people. They say, what's wrong with just being happy? Well, happiness isn't a problem, but happiness isn't useful either. It doesn't lead to happiness. So if you're focused on being happy, you'll often wind up being unhappy, funnily enough. But if you focus on goodness, you'll always be happy. That's the difference. So what does goodness mean? And I guess this is where you'd have to say, well, all religions talk about goodness, but all religions probably have their own distinct ideas of what goodness is. But not always, you know. It's not about which religion, it's about people. I know people from other religions. For example, I've been doing these 5-minute meditation lessons at the university. It's a lot of fun. Met a lot of people. Taught some Sikh people, two Sikh men, how to meditate with their daggers. They have these ceremonial daggers that they carry on, and the turbans. Two women wearing hijab came and sat down. A woman with a cerebral palsy came in a wheelchair. all sorts of people interested in meditation. But one day when I was sitting, I think Thursday, I was sitting across the way because there's all these tables set up for all the different clubs, and the religious clubs tend to like these things. So there was the Christian, one of the many Christian clubs was there, and they had a whiteboard up for people to write on, and it said, I want something like, I want a religion to have, or my ideal religion will have, and then you're supposed to add something. And so I watched during the day as people put stuff down. Of course, the first one that came up was God. Religion has to have God, they think. Little do they know, there are religions, there are godless religions out there. God isn't really necessary. My feeling on God, by the way, is that, sure, maybe if there is a God out there, I don't think there is. But if there is, I think they are probably pretty happy with us Buddhists. Why? Because we never ask them for anything. We never bother them. And moreover, we do lots of good things, or we try to. We focus very much on the things that make you good. So I figure we're doing okay with them. Don't have to worry about them. Our religion doesn't have to concern ourselves with God. But all these things, what I'm getting at is all these things that they put down on their list. I was talking to someone who came by the table and talking about them, and I said, I want to go over there and write goodness on the board. Because they didn't put it. They didn't put anything like goodness. There was, what was it? Trust was, I think, on there. That's pretty good. Trust is good, but still not getting at the point. If your religion doesn't have goodness in it, what good is it? Right? God. Faith is here. I'm not going to give my talk. I'm just getting distracted. That's nice to be back on Second Life. Can someone call Faith over? I'll have to talk to her later. She was one of our... She's one of the old school Buddha Center people. Anyway, on to the talk. So what is goodness? There's lots of things that are goodness. Goodness is, as I said, that which leads to happiness. But there's a list of things. Because goodness is something that we focus on in Buddhism, we got a whole lists of good things. So what are the things that lead to happiness? Anybody want to put... Why don't we just have people put stuff out there? Let's do an interactive session. Because I've got my list, but let's see what you guys come up with. Anybody have any idea what is goodness? Just looking for examples of goodness. What are some of the goodnesses out there? A lot of comments, but nobody's got anything about good. What is good? What is something that's good? Acting to benefit others, giving to others. Well, there's some good examples. Yeah, I would say those are goodnesses. Being kind to others, yeah. Yeah, we're pretty big on compassion and kindness, so love. Love and compassion are kind of two sides of the same coin in a sense. I guess I'm specifically thinking of good deeds. What are good things we can do? Not even just with the body necessarily, but good activities. Because it's I mean, if you talk about all these different mind states that we cultivate, then we're getting more into one specific aspect of goodness, and that's mental development, bhavana. Bhavana is a whole realm in and of itself, but altogether we consider that bhavana. Bhavana means to increase the becoming, increase the existence of something, so it's cultivation. Mental cultivation, bhavana. Sharing knowledge with others. Yeah. But that's the first type of goodness is giving. And so we all, many of you probably familiar with the quotes, sabbadanang dhammadanang jinati. Dhammadana jinati. Sabbadana dhammadanam jinati. Sabbadana, the dana, all danas are, well, dhammadana, the gift of dhamma, the gift of truth, conquers or defeats or excels all other gifts, all gifts. So teaching others is a big thing in Buddhism, because we're not just concerned about goodness. Goodness isn't the only way to talk about what is Buddhism. And another good one is wisdom. The core of Buddhism is about understanding. It's not about faith or practice. It's about understanding. So in Buddhism, we often associate Buddhism with practice. Sitting cross-legged, cultivating certain mind states, usually calm and tranquility, that's the focus, or love and kindness. We'd often forget that in the end it's all to learn, to understand. Really, Buddhist meditation at its core is about learning, about studying yourself. And so teaching others, teaching concepts and theories, and teaching practices that allow us to understand these concepts and theories. They're not exactly concepts, these truths for ourselves. It's a very good sort of goodness. And you can see this, if you give to others, so I say better to give than to receive, I mean, it's very easy to dismiss that. I think, I mean, how many of us have heard that from when we were very young and didn't really get it? I mean, what kid wants to hear that? Better to give than to receive. Well, that's just your parents' way of fooling you into being fair. I mean, it's better to give it than to receive, because we have to maintain order, basically. It's obviously not better for you, right? If you give, then you lose something. That's our shallow way of looking at things, unfortunately. We love to receive. We have a harder time giving. When we give, we want to give to people we love, right? People often have an easy time giving to someone they care dearly for. But to really give is like to give up. I remember when I was in Sri Lanka, sitting in one of the great meditation teachers of Sri Lanka, watching when he would give these talks. He didn't speak much English, so he would speak in Sinhala, and then one of the Czechoslovakian monks would translate into English. And he was trying to translate this word jaga, which we translate as charity. And he said, no, it's not charity. And he was trying to explain. And he said, it's not giving, it's about giving up. Real giving. And I think he's being a bit extreme, because there's many kinds of giving. But definitely the best kind of giving is to give up. Is the letting go. So if you give to someone thinking they'll like you for it. You know, I mean, the worst is we often give as a favor. We give because it will ingratiate us with that person. That's the worst kind. I would think. Well, I suppose even worse is if you give to look good. And you give and you think, look at these people are going to see me giving. That often happens in Buddhism. It's easy to fall into. Doesn't mean you shouldn't give. It doesn't mean you should be afraid of giving. It means there's still cultivation that has to go on. The best way is to use wisdom. Give with wisdom. So you can give physical things. You can give food to others. That's a good thing. When you give shelter to others, when you give medicines to others, requisites, to things that they can really use, that they really need. It's always good. Give to homeless people. Give them a coat. Give them a scarf. If they're homeless in a cold country, that is. Give them a blanket. Give them food. I was walking, I always tell this story, many of you have probably heard it already. I always remember when I was young and I was walking down the street with a friend of mine, and suddenly, it was a cold day, and suddenly she turns into a McDonald's, she says, wait here, she goes into the McDonald's. She comes out with a hamburger and she just hands it to this homeless guy on the side of the road that I hadn't even seen. I hadn't even seen him sitting on the sidewalk. Or maybe I noticed him, but no interest. And she, right away, handed him a hamburger, and we kept walking, and she said, you know, I don't give because I want to help other people. I give because I'm selfish. So I'm selfish because when I give, it makes me feel good. Which is a curious statement in itself from a Buddhist perspective, because we're often accused of being selfish. And I think we're often afraid of being selfish as Buddhists. And so someone said helping others, making others feel good, it's really not goodness. The goodness isn't about helping other people. It's about being good yourself. Because goodness leads to happiness, your happiness specifically. And this is where the whole concept of selfishness breaks down. As we say, it's selfish to want to help yourself, which is, you know, pretty absurd. Because there's no one, if you're to be totally objective, there's no one on earth that you can help as much as yourself. So even just in terms of maximizing the benefit you bring to this earth, the most benefit you can bring is to yourself. No question. The most harm you can bring to this earth, also to yourself. So just in terms of doing the best you can, no question, helping yourself, most important. And it really is the answer, right? Because if we all went around telling everyone else what to do, then none of us would ever accomplish anything. Whereas if we all, as the Buddha said, watched our own feet when we walk, and what he meant is worry about our own deeds, our own acts and omissions, worry about our own goodness, then everyone would be good. So the teaching we do is not to not for us to make you better, but for us to explain to other people how they can make themselves better, so they can cultivate goodness themselves. There's a lot of chatter in the chatterbox. I don't normally get this much cross chatter when I'm giving a talk. Part of me wants to say, hey guys, aren't you listening? I know you are, but why are you interrupting? Normally when someone gives a talk, when the Buddha would give a talk, if a monk cleared his throat, the guys near him would nudge that person. Hey, Buddha's giving a talk. Even if they just cleared their throat, they would, shh. Part of me thinks it's okay, but I wonder what you guys are talking about. Are you having a conversation on the side? There'll be lots of time for questions and comments and discussion, and for you to tell me what you think of what I said, to refute and argue with me. No problem. But as I said, part of me anyway thinks that it's better if you just listen and meditate for this part of the talk.